the above, press 4. You have selected option 4, all of the above. All of our unprincipled collaborators with Western business interests are busy right now. Please wait until the regime has had time to consolidate its power and try your call again.
Well, if you've been having difficulty with your telephone, your prayers have been answered because it's 10 o'clock on a Wednesday, and that means it's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, they live on for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood, but they live on.
And this is Off the Hook. My name's Manuel Goldstein. We're together for an hour every Wednesday night talking about high tech and all the wonderful things that go with it. Stay tuned. Well, it's more than I can say for, let's say the phone company, for instance. They're not exactly brilliant. And I'm sorry to have to jump right in with a shot at the phone company, but it's been one of those weeks, you know? You ever have one of those weeks where the phone company is just at your throat? Unbelievable. But I'm not gonna get into my personal problems with them, because there's so many other problems I could be getting into here. Like your problems with the phone companies and various other things like that. Let's first of all take a look at what's been going on. By the way, that was Wendy James doing a sort of a Clash imitation there, written by Elvis Costello, of all people. Just thought that might be interesting. But apart from that, we have this news here about Brazilian computer snarls. Congressional committee investigating massive fraud in Brazil was held up about a week or so ago when the computers froze in response to a command to cross-reference data on thousands of checks, bank accounts, and budget amendments between 1990 and 1992. Yeah. The article from United Press International explains that the network ran out of processing resources, including memory, when trying to track down corruption in the government. Or maybe it was just a little logic bomb there. Here's something on digitized photos, which are making inroads virtually everywhere you look. 14 states and 2 Canadian provinces are planning to use digitized photographs of drivers on licenses, adding people's faces to their already vast computer files. Once a photo is scanned into a computer to be stored digitally, the image can easily be altered, matched with similar images, or even transmitted around the world. Privacy experts worry that the information will be misused by people with bad intentions or by overzealous police. Nah. The article goes on to explain that privacy advocates are already worried about the potential for abuse. Would you like to know what some of that potential is? Okay. Some possible abuses include release of the pictures to the direct marketing industry. Now, that's the worst of all, I think. And that could target specific categories of people, such as bald people, those in need of dental care, and they could be targets of relentless campaigns of direct marketing. Probably one of the scariest things ever invented in Western civilization is direct marketing. One of the other possible abuses of this is, illegal use by criminals to stalk, harass, or intimidate victims. And you can probably use your imagination for some others. The FBI is claiming to be interested in nationwide picture files and is currently upgrading its databases to handle pictures such as those from motor vehicle licenses. Even in police work, however, such files could be misused. For example, courts have frowned on police roundups of all young black men near a crime scene, but police could use the computer to scan the pictures of every driver living in the area. Police could greatly increase the number of pictures shown to witnesses of crimes by including thousands of photos of innocent people, with a likely increase in the number of false positive misidentifications. Whew. And because the pictures will be stored in digital fashion, changing them will be very easy. Of course, privacy watchdogs are urging caution and thought as the systems are implemented. I suppose that's what we're urging here tonight, is caution and thought. Digitized photos can be dangerous playthings. And in the never-ending saga of computerized voting by phone, this latest chapter, during the recent elections, the people of Boulder, Colorado voted 11,731 to 7,926 not to implement a voting by phone system, provided constitutional questions were satisfied. And no, they didn't do it by phone. The Colorado Constitution requires that ballots not be individually identifiable. The proposal to print telephone ballots and voter IDs may violate this requirement. If this information is published, it can be cross-referenced with public records of registered voters and voting patterns in a statistical attack on the anonymity of voters. But not publishing this information removes one of the strongest arguments for voting by phone. The ratio was quite consistent as the election results were announced, so it appeared that there was widespread distrust of this system despite substantial favorable press in various newspapers. And finally, this interesting piece from the Risks Digest concerning charge cards from mail order houses from Ted Wabber. My wife obtained the credit card from a local branch office of a clothing retailer called Talbot's, who also happens to be in the mail order business. Recently, I had an opportunity to place an order using one of their catalogs that was mailed to our home. The phone sales agent was able to look up my wife's account from a 5-digit number printed on the catalog. Now, my wife and I don't share last names. Nonetheless, the sales agent was willing to accept an order in my name, send it to a location of my choosing, and charge it to my wife's account. Seems like anyone who picked up the catalog from the trash could have made such an order. I'll be more wary of accepting new credit cards in the future. And the moderator to the Risk Digest commented on this particular story. Worse yet, just pick 5 digits at random. Anything's possible. All right, we have something interesting to play with today. Something that a lot of you have access to. You may not know you have access to this, but you do. We're talking about people right now in the 212 and 718 area codes. And if, in fact, you call us and ask us to tell you the number that you can call locally to access this particular service, we can do that. We'll be more than happy to do that. But what we're going to do right now is call one of these services live on the radio, just to increase the dramatic aspect of this. And what we're talking about is something rather new, not brand new, but rather new. It's called 9X Voicemail. And Fiber Optic has just stepped in. Have you ever heard of 9X Voicemail?
9X Voicemail. I'm familiar with the voicemail that you subscribe to as a service.
Yeah.
Which they call call answering.
Well, they call it all different things in different places.
Yeah.
But it's run by 9X. It's basically supposed to be a substitute for an answering machine.
Right.
No more having to worry about what do people have to worry about when they have an answering machine? I don't really know. I guess it could fall on the floor or something. But apart from that, there's really nothing I can think of to worry about.
Oh, sure, there's a worry.
Like what?
There's a worry about someone calling up and, while the greeting is playing, scanning out that simple 1, 2, or 3-digit code in order to change the greeting or read all your messages.
Well, how complex is the code on 9X voicemail?
I would think it's substantially more digits.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Maybe on the order of even 6 or 7.
Well, it's a possibility, but I don't know anything about the default passwords. Perhaps our listeners can help us with that particular bit of information there. Now, I don't think we have a number for our local area here because we just recently cut over to a 5ESS, as our listeners are painfully aware. And I don't think the previous system had access to this. I don't have a phone number for our local area. So, Fiber, you want to pick an exchange in New York City at random?
Just completely at random?
Completely at random.
Anywhere in
the I have a list here, but there are some gaps in the list, so it's possible that it should be an exchange that you know, not just 3 digits at random.
Okay, an exchange that I know.
And you've studied exchanges quite a bit.
Quite a bit,
you have
sure.
them all in your head. You can probably tell me what kind of a switch it is just
okay.
by...
What if I picked my own?
If you picked your... What, you mean created an exchange?
No, I mean, what if I picked my home exchange?
Well, you could, but I'd like to... Do you really want to give your home exchange out over here?
Well, okay, I'll give an exchange in Queens then, okay? How about 335 and 718?
335, that's...
It's one of the Newtown number 5 ESSs.
All right, hold on. That's definitely Queens, right?
That's Queens, yes.
Okay. Hang on a second. I have to access this this list here, which is on paper. Now, what was the exchange again?
718-335.
335. All right. It must be on this page over here. 335. No, they don't have a number. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They don't have access to it, apparently.
Great.
According to this list. This list might be a little bit outdated, but please pick another one.
Okay. How about...
Leave it to you to pick the one exchange that doesn't work.
Okay, how about 212-989?
Uh-huh. All right.
The West 18th Street 5ESS.
All right, don't get cocky here. I can tell you what that is. Let's see here. Okay, that's New York City. 989, you said.
Yes,
989 is West 18th Street.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And, well, I'm sorry, it's a number 5ESS, right?
Yes, it
okay.
is.
Okay. Fine, we do have a number for them. Let's get our trusty dial tone on the air. There we go. And we're going to call the 9X voicemail number for the 989 exchange. And we're doing this live on the radio. Listen carefully.
Welcome to the 9X voice messaging service. If you wish to leave a message for the person you called, please enter their 7-digit telephone number now. If you have a mailbox on the system and wish to access it, please press pound.
Just to be a wise guy, I'm going to enter their phone number as the 7-digit number. Let's see what it says.
I'm sorry, but I don't understand what you pressed. Please try again. For some helpful information, press 0.
Now, the helpful information is funny because it's just...
Messaging service.
It's just the exact same thing. We're going to hit a 0.
If you have a mailbox on the service, dial pound or star. If you want to leave a message for someone, dial the number again. If you're not calling from a touchtone telephone, please hang up and try your call again later.
Welcome to the 9X voice messaging service.
All right, we're going to hit a pound sign this time.
For the person you called... Please enter their 7-digit telephone number now.
All right, here we go. Pound sign.
Please dial your mailbox number.
Oh, gosh. 1, 2, 3.
I'm sorry,
whoa.
But I don't understand what you dialed.
I guess you can't
Please
put a
again.
1.
Please dial your mailbox.
Can't put a 1 as the first number. Any suggestions here?
Pick a phone number.
Dial your mailbox number.
You see, I don't know a phone number in that...
989 anything.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but I don't understand
She doesn't understand
what you
that.
Wow. Please try again. Please dial your mailbox number.
Let's see how many attempts we get.
Sorry you were having trouble.
I am too.
Please try again later. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, that's the end of that. Now, they're all different. They're all different little computers and voices and things like that. Let's try... let's go out to
hold on now. I want to see how many digits the code is. Although
how can you tell if we don't have an account?
Yeah, see, we need to know someone who has this
now,
service.
Now, obviously, there's somebody out there, I'm sure, that can call in and tell us this information. Now, I want to go all the way out to the barren fields of Queens, all the way out to maybe Rockaway. Let's do that. What's a good
Sure, they have it in Rockaway. They don't have it in Newton.
Far Rockaway, okay? Mysterious Far Rockaway. And we're going to call the voicemail number for the 868 exchange. See if it sounds any different.
Welcome to the 9X voice messaging service. If you wish to leave a message for the person you called, please enter their 7-digit telephone number now. If you have a mailbox on the system and wish to access it, please press pound.
All right, I'm going to pull the same stunt and enter their phone number.
I'm sorry, but I don't understand what you pressed. Please try again.
All right, she doesn't understand, so we're just going to drop her there. All right, so that's basically it. If anyone out there is curious about this system or can shed some light on it, please give us a call. 212-279-3400. And we can learn together live on the radio. That's our phone number here. And we have a list of all the numbers for 212 area code and 718 area code. So
I just want to note that when someone does get a message,
uh-huh.
then when they pick up the phone, they get a pulsating dial tone.
Yes, they do. And also, what's interesting about this system is that once you have this particular phone number, you can call that number and enter the person you're trying to reach. You enter their phone number, and you can leave a message for them without even ringing their phone. I mean, isn't that neat? You don't have to bother them. You don't have to bother talking to them. You just leave a message, and then they get the message, and maybe they'll leave you a message in return, and you never have to speak. See, that's the thing you have to worry about with an answering machine. You have to worry about the person picking up or listening in or what have you. All right, we're going to I guess, go to the telephone call, since we seem to have a jam-packed full line here. 212-279-3400 is our phone number, and we'll be talking about this and other things throughout the next few minutes. Good evening, you're on.
Good evening. As soon as you said 9X voice messaging, I ran to my phone. I've been patiently waiting. Thanks for making me first.
Okay. Well, I didn't make you first. Some other, I guess the 5ESS has made you first.
Okay. Well, whatever. Anyhow, I have the service, and I've been playing with it for as long as I've had it. I like it, and I don't like it. I like it for its convenience. I don't like it because I'm a computer person, and deep, dark down inside, I know that there's somebody sitting behind a desk in an office somewhere who has access to the digitally encoded messages that get left on my line, and when he has nothing better to do, I'm sure he's listening to them.
No.
No.
You sound so distrusting of the integrity of the phone company employees.
How cynical.
How have you arrived at such a low point in life that you'd actually think people would do things like this?
I've got 25 years of history with a telephone company to quote for you if you had the time.
Have you worked for the phone company?
No, I work against them.
Okay, that's good. Well, that's something that we didn't bring up, which is a very good point. Yes, when you allow somebody else to run your answering machine for you, of course, the possibility always exists that they can listen to it for you as well.
Oh, sure.
Or accidentally erase all of your messages or give you the wrong messages or who knows what.
Oh, it's happened.
Uh-huh.
Happened on my Octel voice processing system at work. I think that the people who run that were probably garbage collectors yesterday and Octel voice administrators today. I've gotten other people's messages. I'm sure other people have gotten mine because I've gotten some rather strange replies from people I didn't send mail to. But anyway, I wanted to let you know, in case nobody else on the program has known about it yet, they've made some significant improvements in the forwarding options that you get. It used to be that if you had call waiting, you were in trouble, but apparently they've come up with some updates to the software. Thanks to a friend of mine in Flushing who put me onto this.
What do you mean if you had call waiting, you were in trouble?
Okay, the way it used to work, if you had call waiting and you received a call while you were on the phone, you know, you get the little courtesy beep and you click over.
Right.
If you didn't click over, that call would just stay there and never get forwarded to the voice messaging machine.
I see, okay.
That's still the way it is, unfortunately. However, if you have two calls in progress, either one call in progress and a call waiting comes in, which would effectively make your line busy, you now have the capability of having the telephone company forward busy signal condition over to the voice messaging machine.
Well, I don't, that's not really new, is it, Fiber?
No, call forward on a busy line is certainly not new. And if
But with call waiting, it is.
I never thought of that, actually.
It used to not work correctly with call waiting.
Well, didn't you just say that it doesn't work with call waiting?
It does now. It works, well, no, it doesn't work in that if you're on the phone and you get a second call, the call won't be forwarded to the message machine. You'll have to either pick it up or ignore it. It'll never go to the machine. But if you have two calls in progress, either a three-way, you know,
yeah, three-way or a call, but that has nothing to do with call waiting. It's just if the phone is busy, it will forward.
Well, it didn't used to, but it does now.
Okay.
Wait, you succeeded in confusing me. No, I don't really know what we're talking about anymore.
Okay.
Now, you have a situation where you have two calls in progress, and then you get a call waiting?
Well, no, you can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
It's not on DMS.
Actually, you can do that on a 1A.
And you can also,
that's true,
also do it on a 5E if you have the IntelliDial service. If you don't, you can't.
That's true. Okay, how do you do it with IntelliDial?
Well, it works the way it should.
Oh, really? That's unusual.
If you have IntelliDial, which I used to have, because I used to have three lines on a 5E, now I have three lines on a DMS, you can, if you have two calls outgoing, if you have a three-way in progress, either two outgoing or an incoming and an outgoing, and you get a call waiting, you will get the beep, just like you do on a 1A.
Boy. Okay, well, I sense a large part of the city is being left behind with this conversation here. So is there any other kind of observation you want to make on this particular system?
Oh, yeah. If you have call waiting and you want to get your service upgraded, you should call their helpline. Believe it or not, you get a techie guy. You don't get one of their T-Punch administrators. You actually get somebody who knows what they're doing.
Really?
Yes, and that's the help 986 number that they give you when you sign up for the service. Uh-huh. And you give them a call, and you'll get somebody. As a matter of fact, you get somebody over at Bridge Street.
Bridge Street?
Yes.
Bridge Street.
That's, and Fiber, perhaps you can tell us the significance of Bridge Street.
Not very much significance, only that it's by the bridge.
Well, it's a big phone company installation over there.
Yeah, it's a large central office.
I work at the Metrotech facility, not at the phone company, but in that complex, and they have a whole building devoted just to the phone company.
Great.
All right, well, thanks so much for your call. You've been very enlightening.
Oh, thanks.
All right, take care.
Take care, guys.
It's great when people think about how their phone works and the things that it doesn't do. But, you know, we mentioned that the 1A is able to do certain things, and I've noticed this over the past few weeks. 1As can do things that 5ESSs and DMSs can, such as, I believe you call it four-way? They have a four-way capability?
Four-way?
Well, we're not really four-way, but let's say you're on three-way.
Right.
I'm talking to you on the phone, and we conference somebody else in. Well, call waiting still works.
Right.
Now, you can't three-way that person in because that would be four-way, but you get call waiting on three-way. You can't do that on a DMS or a 5ESS.
Yeah, annoyingly enough.
Yeah, and maybe that's never what they intended, but...
That's what's wrong with this town.
Yeah, well, it's what's wrong with the industry. All right, 279-3400. Good evening, you're on. Hello? Okay. Check your mouthpieces, folks. Make sure that the mouthpiece is screwed in. All right, sometimes...
Make sure the receiver is properly oriented.
Yeah, fastened to the phone. Sometimes people let that little modular thing fall out and bad things happen. Good evening, you're on.
Hi, Emmanuel.
Hi, how are you?
Long time.
It's been too long.
It's been too long, yeah. what was I going to say? The thing about the message thing... What is the difference between that and the message thing that they were previously advertising?
The difference between what?
The previous message thing that they were advertising and the thing that you're talking about?
The previous message...
Service.
Which one is that? Yeah, which one is the previous message service?
Same. Anyway, what problems were you having with the phone company when you mentioned it at first?
All just, you know, the typical bureaucratic nonsense where you're trying to get them to do one thing and they just do the opposite consistently. It's, you wonder, you know, what is wrong with these people? How come they can't figure out they're the phone company? They're supposed to know what they're doing with phones. For instance, I called the phone company to have a certain service switched on two different lines. You know, it's the privacy function that allows you to block your caller ID. I like to experiment with it on some lines. I don't like to experiment with it on others. And so,
oh, by the way, speaking of that.
Well, let me finish. So basically what we did was we told the phone company to swap the two lines. They had gotten it completely opposite, and we wanted them to get it right. So it took maybe three phone calls to get to a human in the first place. If you call during the daytime, you get a recording saying, we can't pick up the phone now, call back later. If you call back later, you get three different recordings, and then... After about 20 minutes of hanging on after the last recording, they hang up on you. And that happened to me maybe two or three times. And when I confronted them with this, when I finally got a human being and I asked them why they keep disconnecting people, they said, there's something wrong with the phones. And I said to them, you know, you're the phone company. Don't you think maybe you can get this fixed a little faster than the rest of us? It's been like a week now, and they still are having trouble with their phones. And also, when you tell them something, at least when I told them what I wanted with my particular lines, they took a very, very, very long time to get it all down. And the guy explained it to me. He said, I don't have access to the computer because the computer is broken. And I have to write all of this down, and it's going to take over a week for it to get processed because I have to write it all down, and it took him about 20 minutes to write it all down. So, yeah, you know, at times like that, the guy before you mentioned that that it sounds like garbage men are running the phone company. I would welcome the opportunity for garbage men to run the phone company. Believe me, I think they have more common sense than the people running the phone company.
12-year-olds can run the phone company better than what...
Well, I think there have been instances where 12-year-olds have been running the phone company, and it has been a lot smoother.
Anyway, what I was going to say about your caller ID thing, I remember that experiment you were trying with trying to call from out of state. Now, I recently...
Well, we figured that out. Did you get the answer to that?
No. I recently went to New England, and I called your voicemail. I don't know if you still have it hooked up to your caller ID, but...
No, the voicemail is never hooked up to caller ID.
Not your voicemail, your 2600 line.
Well, we have to forward it to get that hooked up. It's not ordinarily hooked up.
Well, I left a message and just asked if you would...
Yeah, we only use the caller ID for experimental purposes, and sometimes we find interesting things.
From an Airphone, and why is the Airphone phones, the GTE Airphone phones, hooked up to a number in Illinois?
Well, it's not necessarily hooked up to a number in Illinois. It's hooked up to whatever it routes the calls through.
Yeah,
and when you're up there in the sky, you're actually a lot closer to things that you don't think you're closer to.
I'm in New York going to Massachusetts.
Well, when you're in the air, it doesn't really matter. You know, they just route it from whatever phone they...
Try to call the phone number. It says it's not in service.
Right. Well, I mean, that's just a recording. They just stick a recording on there. You do the same thing on Amtrak. If you use the phones on Amtrak and let's say you call an 800 number and you look at and see what number shows up, it'll usually wind up as a number in Philadelphia or something that doesn't really exist. And Fiber, do you have any clue as to why they give numbers that don't exist?
Well, it's not that they don't exist. They're numbers that are probably actually switched through the cell site.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want them to be directly dialable, so they're not.
Yeah, so you get a recording saying they're not in service, but they're actually being used for something. I mean, you won't be able to get those numbers for any other purpose.
Oh, do you have any pictures of Bell Canada phones in your 2600 magazine? Because I went there over the weekend.
I've seen them plenty of times. I don't know if we've ever actually published a picture of that.
I was thinking of taking a picture and sending it to you, but...
Well, did you?
I don't know. I didn't because I didn't have a camera.
Then you lost an opportunity.
Yes, and I had much trouble coming back from the border.
Did you? What, you say you knew me?
Yeah, because... Yeah,
that'll definitely do it.
They thought I was smuggling somebody into the country, and they stopped me at Maine, and...
Well, did you have somebody with you?
No, I didn't.
What made them think you were smuggling someone with you?
I don't know. They searched my car, and...
Uh-huh. Okay, well, maybe you had somebody chopped up into little bits or something, and they were looking for that. I don't know. But,
you know, by the way, why is this, like, some phone companies like Alltel Upstate go through New York Telephone? Like, it'll be an Alltel payphone, but when you dial zero, it's a New York Telephone operator.
Oh, well, lots of COCOTs go to local operators.
It's not a COCOT.
You mean an independent?
I guess it's an independent, yeah.
Perhaps they don't have their own operators. You know, they might just be a company that provides phone service but doesn't have operators of their own.
So in other words, Alltel really works on New York Telephone or something?
I don't know anything about Alltel. But,
I've seen that in Maine, too, an independent sort of phone company that goes to New England Telephone.
Well, you know what's neat? It's many phones in New England only cost 10 cents.
Oh, yeah, they still do.
Yeah. I think that's really... I don't know how they managed to do this. And by the way, this is something that is just taking place now. AT&T has raised the rates of long-distance information to 75 cents, and, get this, overseas information, $3.95. I mean, who would ever want to make an overseas call again when you have to pay that much money just to find out what the phone number is?
Yeah, just like you said one time, call a number, somebody at random and ask them to look in the phone book.
Exactly. You're better off doing that. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
All right. And that's our world traveler checking in. Good evening, you're on.
Hi, Emmanuel. Let me just lower my radio.
Okay.
Last week you guys were talking about Manhattan Cable and the converter box and trying to order like a pay-per-view show without having a converter box.
Yeah.
One of the phone numbers you could try is 1-800-379-6262.
Okay.
Now, if I did that from my phone, I would definitely get an automatic billing to whatever is on, be it a whatever movie or whatever this thing is. Now, you were saying you don't know if you could try it from a regular phone if you would work or not. So
uh-huh.
You could try that number and...
Okay, we'll try that. Now,
works.
Now, when you call from your particular line, though,
what
exactly does it say to you?
Well, it says, like, thank you, your order has been received or something like that. And like somebody else said last week, a couple of seconds later, I'll turn to channel 62... And whatever is playing, be it commercials or the preview before the actual movie, I'll get on.
Uh-huh.
And I'll see it. And then I'll get like a bill for $4.95 or whatever it is.
How neat.
On my next cable bill.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if it would work, like you said, without a converter box, but that's definitely one of the numbers you could try. And
okay. Now, so when you call, you don't have to enter any information other than what it is you want
to
see.
It must be tied to my phone number
right. Somehow.
So I really don't understand how it reads that it's my phone number calling them.
Oh, we can explain that. Fiber, you want to take that one?
Yeah, it's just receiving your phone number through what's called ANI.
Okay.
Which is just a service that they're subscribing to from the phone company, whoever their 800 provider is.
Okay.
And they have some equipment mm-hmm. that basically... what it's probably doing is receiving your phone number from the phone company
right.
and cross-referencing it with a database of subscribers.
Oh, all righty. So then, like you were saying, that it would make little. I mean, then how could they possibly know if you're calling from a phone without a converter box? Then,
well, if
well, we're gonna find out. We're gonna find out what they say when when they get
try that
strange number they've never heard of before.
Yeah, and I'll listen in and see if you get through, or cause you might get that if you play it over the air. You'd get that recording, like, "Thank you, your order has been placed," or "Thank you for ordering," whatever the movie name is.
Okay, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and also good luck, Fiber, with everything you're dealing with, and hopefully your appeals are going through okay.
Well, there's no appeals,
oh,
so
it's a done deal at this point.
Yeah, it's finalized. You can't really appeal something like that.
Best wishes on all that. And,
thanks.
Give that number a try, and I'll listen and see what happens.
All right, thanks for the info.
Taking the call.
All right. So we're going to try this. We're going to do this live on the air again. We're going to call a cable TV company here. Pay-per-view. But it's not going to know who we are. Well, it will know who we are, but it's not going to recognize our number. The call is going through.
We are unable to process your order. Please call 674-9100.
There you go. That's what happens. They're unable to place the order because they don't know our phone number and they can't match it to the database. I can't say I'm surprised. I mean, I didn't think they'd allow us to order something that we wouldn't be able to see in the first place, but it was worth a shot. Good evening, you're on.
Hi, let me kill this radio here.
Kill the radio.
Kill the radio. Here's the deal. You were talking with somebody about the problems you were having with installations, changes, stuff like that.
Not just one time. Every time you call, you get problems like this.
A couple of months ago, we installed a new phone system at work, and I went through a lot of the same thing, 6 times getting this recording and then getting cut off, all that jazz. I did a little human engineering, made friends with one of the installers who was moving some of our lines, and got my local dispatcher's office number. And after that, all my calls went to the local dispatcher's office. The stuff was taken care of in a timely manner, and they were very friendly and helpful.
Well, now, do they mind every time you want something, you call the local dispatcher?
After I explained to them that the system was screwing up, and they called the system, and it screwed up on them. Because, you know, all the calls for Metro New York are routed up to someplace in Albany.
Uh-huh.
And you call the 890-whatever number.
Yeah.
I don't know what your exchange...
890-1100 for billing and 1350 for installation.
Right, right. All those 890 numbers get routed to a central office in Albany somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And then they call the local dispatcher's office to dispatch the actual service calls.
You know what I had to do this past week when they hung up on me? I think this was only the second time they hung up. But it was within the same attempt period. It was getting close to closing time, and that's why, you know, I was getting kind of anxious. So I called them again, and a full 20 minutes before closing time, I got a recording saying, "We're now closed."
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They'll do that every time.
So what I did was I got every single phone line I could get, which was about maybe 6 of them, and I called the same number all at the same time. And of that, I think 2 of them went through and got a real recording, and I was able to actually ride one of those all the way through to a human being. But those are the kind of tactics you have to take up to get service. It's like guerrilla tactics here.
So that's why I tell you that local dispatcher's office and the name of that local dispatcher lady has a valued place in my Rolodex.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a good suggestion, but it's just a shame.
If you ever find a way to wheedle it out of an installer when he's coming in to make an installation for you, it will serve you well.
Yeah, it's a shame we have to resort to that, but that's exactly what we have to do.
Anyway, thanks, and I enjoyed listening to my friend Steve as your first caller.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
I'm sure your friend Steve liked having his voice read over the air, or his name read over the air like that. Who knows? Now, I want to also demonstrate something here, just so that you can see I'm not being unfair here and picking on New York Telephone all that much. I'll pick another phone company as well. Let's pick a long-distance company this time, MCI, all right? They have this service called 1-800-COLLECT. Now, I don't know why they don't want anybody to know that that's them, but, you know, we know it's them. It is them, right?
Yeah,
it's them. Definitely them. But if you look at all of their recordings or you know, advertisements or newspaper billboards or what have you, you just see 1-800-COLLECT. You don't see any mention of MCI anyplace. And when you call them, they don't answer with MCI. They answer with 1-800-COLLECT. Anyway, my point is, that's their service. But have you ever tried to find out how much it cost to use? Well, I mean, I went through this because I was curious. I wanted to know what it cost to use the service. You know, I figure that's a valid question. And say what you will about the local phone company and about AT&T and all that, at least they know the rates. It might take them a few minutes to figure it out, but they do know the rates. Let's listen to what happens when we try to find out that information that we really should know by calling 1-800-COLLECT. And by the way, this picks up with a machine now, not a human being anymore.
Calling 1-800-COLLECT. Please enter the number you wish to call, area code first, or press 0 for assistance or person-to-person calls.
All right, we're going to press 0 for assistance.
Please hold for operator assistance.
Here we go.
May I have your area code and number calling, please?
The number I'm calling?
Yes.
Yeah, I just need to know how much it's going to cost. I'm calling to area code 518, the 474 exchange.
Okay, I wouldn't know that. I would have to transfer to customer service for rates, sir.
You don't know? Okay, well, okay.
Would you like customer service?
I guess so.
Okay,
yeah,
thank
why
you.
Not?
Please hold for customer service.
Thank you. Customer service.
MCI customer service. This is Paula. How may I help you?
Yes, hi. I just need to know how much it costs to call collect to the 518-474 exchange.
That's this is using 1-800-COLLECT?
Yes.
Station to station?
Yes.
One moment. You need the rate for calling at this time, all three time periods?
Just this time.
You're calling from the 212-279 area?
That's right.
Okay, right now it's doing the discount rate, which is from 5 o'clock p.m. until 10:59 p.m., and that call would be $1.60 for the first minute, which includes the $1.45 operator surcharge, and each additional minute would be 16 cents.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Is there a call I can place for you?
Not right now.
Okay, thank you for your MCI.
Thank you. Well, that's... She did say MCI. Well, you see, when you get transferred to customer service, they don't know not to say MCI because they're customer service for MCI. But the 1-800-COLLECT people never say MCI. Now, I should say, that was very good, actually. We did get transferred. We did have to wait a while, but we got the rate. I've tried this over the past few days, and it takes up to 10 minutes sometimes to find out that information. So even though this might appear to be bad to most people, it's really not that bad. that's what we have to deal with the new phone companies and new technology is how bad it could really be, and is it really that bad in the end? 212-279-3400. This is Off the Hook. We're here for another almost 20 minutes, more like 15 minutes. So if you have any questions about 9X voicemail, long-distance companies, customer-owned, coin-operated telephones, computer databases, or anything else like that, give us a call. Good evening. How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks.
Can you speak up a bit?
Oh, yeah. I got a few quick things to say. I hope you won't kick me off.
As long as you speak louder, I won't.
I have a few quick things to say.
Okay, I heard that part. Go ahead.
First of all, as far as the first caller said where he's worried about some employee tapping into his phone, you know, getting his messages.
Right.
I have to say I would be worried about the exact same thing because of this. I got a tour of the phone company, and this was in Canada, but I still got a tour of the phone company at the switching office, and I asked the guy, have you ever tapped a phone line or anything? And he said, yeah, sure. And not only did he say he tapped the phone line, he let me tap two of them. He just plugged the things in, and I listened to the whole conversation.
Well, when you have the ability, it's very tempting to do things like that.
The next thing is, this ties in with the 1-800-COLLECT. New York Telephone won't connect your 800 calls via an operator anymore. The reason because of this is because in a lot of areas, they're still on, ESS 1A, I think, or SS, switching system 1A, and it won't send ANI to the 800 numbers.
Uh-huh.
They try and read your number, they get 203-555-5555. So what they've replaced it with now, and you can give this a try, is you can call up 800-698-0000. you can enter a telephone number, an 800 number, and the nice thing is it'll tell you what phone company owns it, basically, because New York Telephone can't check an 800 number owned by AT&T, so it says, please call AT&T Communications and gives you the number for it.
You're saying calling that 800 number and then entering another 800 number will tell you who owns that 800 number?
Basically, if it's owned by New York Telephone, it'll say, please wait for a New York Telephone operator. If it's not, it'll say, please call AT&T Telecommunications or whoever owns it, at, and then it'll give you the number to call them. You know, it's for if the 800 number doesn't work or whatever.
I see.
This took effect, I think, November 9th or something. And can you repeat fiber optics internet address real quick?
Oh, I think he can probably do that better than me. Go ahead.
My internet address is fiber, P-H-I-B-E-R, at echonyc.com.
Echonyc.com,
yeah.
Okay.
Hey, there's a big article about Echo in the paper yesterday.
Yeah, Newsday.
Yeah.
And the last thing is just a quick little tip that's kind of to make a like free local access area. It's an old trick with call forwarding. Let's say Stanford is local to Greenwich and Stanford is local to Norwalk, right?
Gee, are you in Connecticut?
I suspect he is. But
Norwalk isn't, but let's say Norwalk isn't local to Greenwich, and you live in Greenwich and want to call someone in Norwalk.
Mm-hmm.
Call someone in Stanford. Ask them to forward your calls to the person in Norwalk. Call them back after they forward their calls. You'll be forwarded to Norwalk for free since their local calls both ways. Best part is that the person who forwarded their calls can then pick up the phone, turn off call forwarding, and use the phone to call whoever they want while you're still talking to the person in Norwalk.
Now, you see, if I try something like that, my phone remains busy until the person hangs up.
Oh, well, this
it will remain busy.
Yeah, that's I mean, it's all programming. It depends how you switch his program, but I mean, theoretically, it's a good idea.
And, hello?
Yeah.
Last thing is this standard? Because it's weird. One of my friends can't get this, and he lives in the same exchange, and I can. If I'm on a conference call, you know, three-way calling,
uh-huh.
I can get a call waiting beep during my three-way call.
No, on a digital switch, you will not get call waiting on a three-way. However, on a 1A, you will.
Yes.
Or a 1.
But it won't.
Or 1, if there are any left.
Doesn't do it for my friend, though, and he's in the exact same exchange. In fact, same prefix.
That's weird. I don't know why that is.
That's awfully odd.
Do you know if you're digital or electronic?
We're SS1A.
You want an ESS.
Okay. So you get like a loud click when you get call waiting, not a beep.
Yeah, real loud.
Okay, yeah, so that's definitely non-electronic, not digital. I don't know.
Oh.
It's a fluke of some sort.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for calling. I'd like to try a couple of things he just mentioned. First of all, I want to see if what he says about an operator not connecting you to an 800 number is true. Let's get a trusting operator on the line and see if they won't connect us to the number we called before, the cable TV number.
New York Telephone.
Good evening, Robert. May I help you? Hello?
Hi, I'm having trouble reaching an 800 number. I was wondering if you could connect me.
800 and what's the rest of it?
800-379-6262.
Just a minute. Did you get anything at all? I mean, was it just a blank, or what happened when you dialed?
I just wasn't getting...
Wait.
We're sorry. Due to network difficulties, your call cannot be completed at this time. Please...
Did you get that?
No, I never got that before.
Okay, well, all right. Well, wait a few seconds. I'll try it again.
Okay.
Well, I don't know exactly what they mean by network difficulties. It's a lot of calls going through at this time.
Hold yeah, on. It's a possibility. There's all kinds of strange things happening on the phone tonight.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
Uncle, they had a cable for you in the 212 area earlier this evening. I don't know if you experienced any of
that. Oh, they did? No, I didn't know about that.
We're sorry. Due to network...
Okay, I'll tell you what. Wait about 5 minutes and then have the operator try it for you again. It's a toll-free number anyway. Don't cross or anything. So
okay,
let the operator try it for you in about 5 minutes.
But you don't have any trouble reaching 800 numbers yourself, do you?
No, not at all. I've been calling 800 numbers all doing my tour here tonight.
Okay.
I haven't had any problem.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I think that can serve as verification that operators still complete 800 calls, even though they don't always go through. All right, the other thing I wanted to try was this other 800 number that he mentioned, which would be very useful if it does, in fact, exist.
Whoa, Welcome to New York Telephone's automated 800 help desk.
Ooh.
If you are calling from a touchtone phone, enter 1 now.
Okay, we can do
that. If you have a rotary phone, please stay on the line and an agent will be with you shortly. Please enter the 10-digit number that you are having problems reaching, followed by the pound key.
All right, I'm going to enter cable and wireless. A number that I know belongs to them. Let's see what happens here.
The number you have entered is 800.
Well, I don't want to give out the actual number there because the person who owns it will kill me.
That's correct. 2 if you wish to re-enter, or 0 if you wish to speak with an agent.
Okay, I'm going
to
assume he said 1 for correct, so I'm going to press 1.
Please wait while we process your request.
All right. As long as the wait is not too long.
I'm sorry, this is not a New York Telephone 800 number. Please contact Cable and Wireless
Ooh.
Communication.
And
Very
they
may
nice.
Be reached at 800-486-8686. Thank you for calling New York Telephone.
Thank you. That is very nice. That is a very useful bit of information there. Thanks to the caller for bringing that to our attention. What do you think, Fiber?
I think that's a very useful piece of information.
Especially
yes.
in this day and age of portability where you don't know one 800 number is completely different from its neighbor as far as who owns the number. And now you can tell right away. I mean, when you had your companies, your 800 long-distance companies change, like the customer now can say, I want MCI to handle my 800 calls, not AT&T, but you keep the same number. Well, how do you really know? How do you know who's handling your 800 calls? There's no way to tell, and now there is. So I don't know if New York Telephone really intended it that way, but it's a very useful service. 1-800-698-0000. Not too hard to remember there. Okay, let's see if we can take a couple more phone calls. Good evening.
Oh, hi. I had a question. I'm sure you guys heard about the AT&T ad that they put out a while back. It was offensive to African Americans. Did you guys hear about that?
I heard about something in a newsletter. You want to describe it for us?
Well, it's from what I heard, I haven't seen the ad, but it's like this map of the world, and each country in the world has a human being on the phone, you know, speaking on the phone.
Right.
In Africa, they had a monkey speaking on the phone.
Right.
And it was very offensive. I was wondering, is there any way I can, you know, get a copy of, you know, I haven't seen it. I'd like to see what it looks like.
Well, believe me, if anybody were to send the copy here to the radio station, they'd probably see it printed in 2600 Magazine, and that's how you could probably see a copy of it. So if anybody has access to that, please, or anything else of that nature, you know, that... would be interesting to our listeners or readers of 2600, please send it in to us, and you know, we'll be happy to share it with as many people as possible.
Okay, thanks a lot. And Fiber, we're with you, man.
Thanks a lot.
All right, take care.
And if you do want to send something in, the address here is Off the Hook, care of WBAI, 505 8th Avenue, New York, New York, 10018. Let's take another phone call. Good evening, you're on.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on.
Is this BAI?
Yes, it is. You're on the air.
Yeah, great. I have a question. Oh, let me lower the radio.
Yeah, lower the radio. Always causes
Hello?
Pandemonium. Yes.
Yeah, my question is this. It's a reference of a cellular phone.
Uh-huh.
I'm curious to know, how do people intercept the transmission, and what sort of equipment is used to identify your identification number?
Bobby, you want to try that one?
Well, simply to intercept a cellular conversation, all one needs is a scanner.
I think he means actually getting the information on the phone number and the billing data. Is that what you mean?
Right. Yeah, I've heard of scanners with, like, what is it, a 900 megahertz or something like
800,
that?
800,
yeah.
But, I mean, what sort of scanning device do you use to intercept the transmission, the identification codes and all that?
I think a simple scanner will intercept that, won't it?
Yeah, a simple scanner would, but you'd need some sort of equipment that can demodulate that data.
Right. If you turn to, I think it's in the 870s, high 870s, 870 megahertz, that is, you will hear data being sent over the airwaves. I mean, you'll hear all kinds of voice conversations around those frequencies, but you'll hear data, and if you can read that data, it'll provide you with all kinds of information as to who's calling who and billing information and serial numbers.
Yeah, basically the cell sites communicate with the cellular phones on separate carrier frequencies than the conversations.
Uh-huh.
And it's all unencrypted, and nobody can figure out why there's so much fraud going on. It's really something.
I guess, what they call the NAM number and all that other stuff?
Yeah, the ESN is the main number.
The ESN number?
Yeah, ESN.
That's the serial number.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So on 870 megahertz, that can be picked up?
Roughly, yeah. In fact, every cellular phone is, in fact, a modem, which can modulate and demodulate this data. So if you had a good knowledge of electronics, you may be able to tinker with your cellular phone and do things that it wasn't originally intended to do.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, is there any other equipment on the market that picks up that those signals?
Legally, no.
Huh?
Not legally.
Well, no, I mean, you can buy scanners legally that will do that will pick up the frequencies.
But not actually decode the data.
Yeah, decoding the data is something, I don't know if it's illegal to have something that decodes the data, but it certainly is illegal to use that information.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right. See if we can squeeze in another one. Good evening, you're on.
Yes, good evening. Two things. I'd like you to tell me where I can obtain Risk Digest.
Okay. Do you have access to the internet?
No, I've been meaning to call, Panic?
Well, there's all kinds of services in New York. Panix, Echo, Mindvox, other ones as well. And any one of those, you can get access to the internet. And on that, you would subscribe to a Usenet news group called comp.risks. That's comp.risks. And once you figure out how the mail reader works or the news reader works, it'll become very easy. Initially, it's a little bit tricky, but once you get that down, you'll have it.
I have a radio mail. But is that quite similar to getting on the internet?
You have what?
Radio mail.
Radio mail.
Yeah, it's a little packet, the electronic data modem.
Right. I don't think that's hooked directly up to the internet, though, is it?
It's not, but you can access it.
Uh-huh.
Through CompuServe.
Well, I know through CompuServe, I'm pretty sure you can get Usenet feeds. Although,
no, I don't think CompuServe carries Usenet.
They don't carry any Usenet?
I don't think so. No.
All right. Well, it's just as well then, because why pay that amount of money just to access something you can probably get for free, or very cheap? What I'd recommend is getting access to one of those Unix systems, public access Unix systems we mentioned, and taking it from there.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling. And on that note, we have a news group on now. Thanks to Len Rose out there in California land for setting this up for us. Alt.2600. That's right. If you can somehow read that, it might not make it to your system just now because it only got created a few hours ago. But on Usenet, there is a group now called Alt.2600. And no, we're not talking about the Atari 2600. We're talking about the magazine, and that's hopefully what we're going to keep the subject matter at. All right, that's going to do it for us here tonight on Off the Hook. Another week has gone by. And we'll be back next week talking about various other things. Fiber, your time is starting to get kind of, you don't have much left before they send you away.
Dwindling away.
Yeah, sending you to prison in January. January 7th, I believe, is the fateful day, right?
That's right.
All right, well, we still have a month to answer more questions and talk to more people on the phone and do other things like that. So we'll see you next week. And we'll see the rest of you next week as well. Manuel Goldstein for Off the Hook. Good night.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. Much worse, but if they could, they would. For Billy Bond, for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood from Billy Bond.
Let 'em Talk with Paul DiRienzo, keeping an eye on the New World Order. 1:30 Wednesday night, Thursday morning, following Robert Knight. Let 'em Talk on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Good evening. In the news tonight, a special Pacifica report on World AIDS Awareness Day. Violence once again flares in the Gaza Strip. And from New York, an exclusive interview with the United Nations Observer in Haiti. With these and other stories, I'm Jose Santiago in New York with Verna Avery Brown in Washington, and this is the news for Wednesday, December 1st, 1993. First to Washington and these headlines topping the news.
More violence in the Israeli-occupied territories today is threatening the Middle East peace plan. Two Palestinian groups opposed to the accord opened fire on a car, killing one Israeli teacher and wounding three Jewish settlers. Hamas said it was the first of five attacks planned to avenge the latest killing of a guerrilla leader by the Israeli army. Some Jewish settlers vowed reprisals for the attack. Settlers plan to put up roadblocks throughout the West Bank and Gaza Strip as a protest tomorrow. Several ceremonies and events today in Washington and around the nation marking World AIDS Day. President Clinton visited AIDS patients and spoke to researchers and doctors at Georgetown Medical Center. President Clinton's remarks were interrupted by an AIDS activist who called the president Slick Willie and accused him of lots of talk, no action. After the man was ushered out by security guards, Clinton said he preferred to be screamed at than to see people give up.
All of us have some.